Blog Talk Radio.
Got a roster dilemma? There's nobody better to ask than FantasyGuru.com. Here are Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan and the Ask Guru podcast.
Welcome into the Ask Guru podcast. It is a beautiful Tuesday night here in FantasyGuru.com studios. I'm Bo Wolf, not in the same place with managing editor Joe Dolan, but we will get that done at some point, Joe. As we do every week, Joe, let's take a status update on the weekend that was for you fantasy-wise. I went 5-4. How'd you go?
Let me put it to you this way, Bo. Rather than recapping my record, let's just put it to you that in a league, actually one of the leagues I care about the most, it's an auction league that I do with a lot of the guys from the office from SiriusXM Radio. We'll have to clear a spot for you. I went up against Leonard Hankerson, Alan Hearns, and Cecil Shorts.
Oh, man.
One of those games where, like, you're going into this and you're like, hell yeah, and you're like licking your chops. I did not
the odds of all three of those guys hitting, huh?
And I'm just like, I actually said this on Twitter on Sunday. I said it was one of those weeks where the guy in your league who doesn't set his lineup wins, just because, I mean, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, all these guys laid just gigantic eggs, and you have your scrubs going off. And you know, that league in particular, I changed the payout structure. And of course, we don't use real money here, Bo. We're just, these are just hypothetical. These are,
of course not.
These are beers that we're handing out to everybody. There's a little bit of an award for people and the person in that league who gives up more points than anybody. It is 4 weeks into the season, Bo. 4 weeks. And I have a 150-point edge on the guy who has given up the fewest points. 4 weeks into the season, and I have a 150-point edge on the guy who's given up the fewest points in the league. It's unbelievable.
The second fewest, you mean.
No. I'm actually the guy with the fewest. But still, four weeks in, and to have given up over 100 points more than somebody else in your league is absurd. It's absurd. And I'm just like, what do I got to do? And then, so that's how my weekend went in general. Like, you go up against, and by the way, Alan Hearns was a completely defensible play this week against Indianapolis, where you knew Vontae Davis was going to see a lot of Allen Robinson. But still, when you go up against guys like that and you get your tail whipped, that's really frustrating. Like, if you go up against
Cecil
Julio
Shorts
Jones.
Cecil Shorts lucked into a big game. I mean, he had no business having a big game.
Like, when you go up against Julio Jones, Bo, or Adrian Peterson, or Aaron Rodgers, and you lose to a big game from those guys, you're like, oh, damn it, I can't believe – but you're like, you get it. But losing to a team of scrubs is really, really difficult. But, yeah, that's how my weekend went.
Without the access to insider information, how did you do on the cash games in DraftKings and FanDuel?
Well, let's put this out there as well. For the first week of the season, I lit money on fire. So everybody out there is listening. If you had a rough week, a lot of people had rough weeks. Our DFS guy at FantasyGuru.com, Kevin Adams, he sent me a text on Sunday, which was basically, literally, the picture was a $100 bill lit on fire. I assume this wasn't his own money. But yeah, he sent that to me. So I know the scores around the industry were low this week. And it's simply because a lot of illogical things happened. And we're still trying to catch up in the NFL, Bo. There are a lot of bad football teams. There's a lot of teams who are winning games who are bad football teams. At least offensively. After last night's game, would you be confident in saying the Seattle Seahawks are a good football team? Because I'm not.
No, I mean, that offensive line is a total garbage fire, and they go into Cincinnati this week. I mean, that's gonna be a tough. It's gonna be a tough road to hoe for Seattle, but especially when they go in and play the Rams twice, the Cardinals twice. I mean, it's gonna be a long year for Russell Wilson. Could be the second year in a row he leads the league in fumbles.
It could be really rough, but. John Hansen said it on Twitter yesterday, and I loved it. I love the comment. He's like, something like, score one for the offense where the plan is to run around and make a play. And doesn't that seem like when they're operating at their best, that's what they're doing? It's like when you're playing backyard football and you're always drawing up plays and you're like, here, let's do this this time. And then about an hour into the game, you're all getting tired and you're sweaty and gross. And then the all-time QB just says, just get open. And that's what it's like watching the Seahawks offense.
Well, Joe, as the winningest bubble ball quarterback in Eagles history, I can tell you that most of the time it's just go ahead and get open and I'll find you.
And then you have to be on the same page as the quarterback, like James Jones is, as he continues to get done. Aaron Rodgers is on the other level.
All right, well, let's turn our attention a little bit to some of the news from both the weekend and from the first couple days of the week here. Let's talk about some of the games and some of the developments we saw happen on Sunday. How about in Denver in the backfield? C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman splitting carries. Hillman looked much better. Obviously, he had that 72-yard touchdown run. And at the end of the game, they were splitting carries completely. Who would you rather own moving forward? Are you ready to jump off the C.J. Anderson train?
I mean, I guess I would have to say I'd rather own Ronnie Hillman moving forward, Bo. It's the only logical answer at this point. However, I do want to say the Broncos have yet to be able to sustain consistent offense on the ground. Ronnie Hillman making a 72-yard touchdown, scoring a 72-yard touchdown on that sweep play, that's fine. That's great. I mean, explosive plays are wonderful. However, they still didn't move the ball with a level of consistency on the ground that we saw last year. And that's something that they're going to have to figure out. And Peyton Manning's level of play hasn't been phenomenal either. So this Bronco offense in general just isn't as good as we were hoping it to be. And ergo, the running game isn't going to have the upside, especially if these guys are splitting carries. So, Bo, I know, like, you can't just say, oh, take away the 72-yard run and Ronnie Hillman averaged 3 yards a carry or whatever he did. You can't do that. However, they still need somebody who moves the pile consistently on the ground game, and they haven't gotten that. I mean, this is a shame that we have to say it, but C.J. Anderson, 11 carries, 43 yards, and a 27-yard reception, that was his best game of the year. It's disgusting that we have to say that, but at least it's something, right? It's something. He averaged 4 yards a carry, 27-yard reception. So I still think this is an ugly, ugly rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched all four of these Broncos games now and actually thought this was the game that Peyton played the worst of the four. And everybody was getting on him for those first two games. But the two interceptions he threw in this game were pretty ugly. And, you know, this was a pretty good Vikings defense, so he didn't have as many guys running free. But I still have faith in this offense. I still believe that especially Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders are going to have value. But Anderson and Hillman, I think it's just going to be a balancing act all season. It's going to be one of those frustrating things for fantasy owners all year long. How about Todd Gurley? Because that's what everybody wants to talk about, Joe. Obviously busts out his first real extended playing time after dipping his toe into the water last week. Those four runs or plays of over 20 yards. I'll tell you where I'm at with Gurley, though. Everybody's waiting for him to come. He has this great game. Mm-hmm. Tell me if you agree with me. If I'm a Todd Gurley owner, I am thinking about selling high right now.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree.
I know you believe that he is a league winner, potentially.
Yes, and let me go back to the first time I said that, Bo, and I'm still in that corner. Let me try to find when I said that on Twitter. I'm going to topsy here. Let me see. Okay. So 2 months ago, let's see here. The tweet was on August 12th. I said, Todd Gurley, ADP of running back 20 in MFL 10 since August 1st. That's around pick 41. And I said, I got to be honest, I think he's a money winner if that price holds. I'm not getting off the train now, Bo, especially because of what we've seen out of guys like C.J. Anderson and obviously Marshawn Lynch and Jeremy Hill. Bo, 3 touchdowns this week. He had 9 carries. Let's remember
that.
Did
not look great.
I still think he's a league winner. If you can get a lot for him, I mean, every trade is contextual. It's so easy to say.
If you can take advantage of this you know, this flowing of love for Todd Gurley that he could be, that, you know, that he's going to be a top five running back the rest of the way, which very well could be true. He could be a top three running back the rest of the way. But now that teams have seen Todd Gurley at in the Rams offense, it's going to be a little bit tougher for him. Defense are going to want to put the hand in the ball in Foles' hands. Gurley has to prove that he can stay healthy. I think if you can get a really big ransom for him, that could be worth it. But of course, as you're saying, all trade questions, it's contextual. It's what else you have in your lineup. It's what the rules are. It's everything that goes into it. So, and I would at least explore the possibility.
Two snaps for Trey Mason. Two.
Yeah.
So that whole Jeff Fisher thing. Oh, we're gonna rotate him. This is a rotation, and I like Trey Mason. I love Trey Mason. As somebody who had Trey Mason in another league, keeper league, I was pissed at first when the Rams drafted Todd Gurley. But Trey Mason is not gonna beat out Todd Gurley. It is not gonna happen, and they're not going to voluntarily take carries away from Todd Gurley to give them to Trey Mason. You saw what Tyrann Mathieu said about this roster. He said, I don't know how that defense, that roster, isn't winning the Super Bowl every year because of the talent they have. And Jeff Fisher is starting to feel the pressure. Old 8-8 is starting to feel the pressure. He's got to be better than 8-8 this year. And frankly, Bo, he has an 8-8 quarterback in Nick Foles. How do you make an 8-8 quarterback better? You run the living piss out of the football. And Todd Gurley can do that. He was unbelievable in that game against a good defense. So I'm still thinking Todd Gurley is a league winner. At this point, I don't know if there are 10 running backs in fantasy I'd rather have than Todd Gurley, because I don't have confidence that these guys are going to hold their jobs. Gurley will hold his job.
That is absolutely true. That I will give you without a doubt. All right, how about in Dallas, the Cowboys lose Lance Dunbar for the season. I guess this means that Christine Michael is going to be a factor in that backfield. What do you make of it?
I would agree. I believe it was, it was Ed Werder from ESPN who reported that the Cowboys aren't going to sign another running back, at least for the time being.
Yeah, they've got Gus Johnson on the practice squad.
I know Joseph Randall drives the Cowboys coaches nuts, Bo, even though he scored a touchdown. And you know what? I'm going to applaud Jason Garrett for this. Because too often, I see coaches bench running backs for fumbling. That's one thing I complain about. I hate coaches who do that. I hate it. But they don't bench receivers for dropping passes, and they don't bench quarterbacks for throwing interceptions. But if a running back fumbles, no, we're going to bench you. However, Joseph Randall scored a touchdown when diving over the pile on Sunday night against the New Orleans Saints. It was very, very, very close to a fumble. It had to be reviewed. They benched them anyway after it. So if you're going to do something like that, at least stick to your guns. At least stick to your guns. I know the touchdown counted, but I mean, I do think Bo Joseph Randall stands to gain the most from this, because I think he's the best receiver in this backfield. And Lance Dunbar was a huge portion of their offense, but we are going to take a look at Christian Michael. And if for some reason you were still holding on to Christian Michael, why would you drop him now is my question. I know he played just one snap, but there's no reason to drop him now. Darren McFadden is going to get an uptick. Personally, if I had Darren McFadden on a roster, I'd either be holding or looking to sell him right now. See what I can get. See if somebody's going to think, oh, Darren McFadden, though, they don't like Joseph Randall very much. Darren McFadden's going to get carries. If you're smart and you know what Darren McFadden is, you know he's not a very good player at this point. Yeah, he might have a big game, though. He might have a game or two. But I think you might be able to get value for him right now. If you can get somebody you're going to plug into your lineup, I'd sell Darren McFadden right now. I still think Joseph Randall stands the most to gain, but I am interested to see what Christian Michael looks like, because here's another team, 2-2, shooting itself in the foot each and every week, making mistakes. They've got to run the football if they want to win with Brandon Whedon. And Christian Michael might be one of their best options to do that.
On a tough matchup this week in New England. Moving forward for the Cowboys, reports that Dez Bryant has a chance, quote-unquote chance, to be back for the Cowboys after their bye week in week 6, which would mean potentially ready for week 7. That seems a little early to me. I think that's probably an optimistic report. But if you are a Dez owner, I think, are you at the point now where you want to hold and see what happens? Yep. Or would you think about selling if you can?
If you didn't sell Dez, right after the injury, week 1, and you're still rostering him, you would have to hold at this point, I think. Unless, Bo, you're sitting at like 0-4, 1-3, and you really don't like the state of your team, and you've got to move him and hope that this positive report can spin it another way for another owner. Maybe there's somebody in your league who's 3-1, thinks their team's really strong. They can strengthen it with Dez Bryant for the stretch run. If you can do that and get some pieces that help you get to 2-3, and 2-3 looks a lot better than 1-4. If you can do that, maybe you have to. However, I think most cases, if you have Dez Bryant, you got to hold him through this because it does appear evident he's going to be back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and the fact that they did not use the designated to return tag on him is a bit of a selling point as well. How about in Buffalo, Carlos Williams? We were expecting big things from him against the Giants. He did have a touchdown, but a bit of an underwhelming game for him in the absence of LeSean McCoy. Now the news that he has a concussion, has to go through the concussion protocol. Bills signing Boom Heron, just in case. What do you make of the Bills backfield situation?
Well, obviously, if Carlos Williams, Bo, can't play this weekend, you would think Boom Heron's going to have some value. I'm not really sure what kind of value Booby Dixon would have. I'm not Booby a huge Dixon Booby Dixon is, guy.
Booby Dixon is, to my eyes, the worst running back I've seen this season.
Wow. Did you see Booby Dixon's stat line heading into week two? Week four, rather? Oh, as a matter of fact, he still kind of got the stat line. In four games, Bo, Booby Dixon has 8 carries for 0 yards and a touchdown.
Unbelievable. They keep bringing him in the red zone, and he can't make anybody miss. He can't move the pile at all. He is I've watched a lot of running backs this year. He is the worst.
Well, he should keep this up because Jerome Bettis got in the Hall of Fame by doing this.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that Carlos Late Williams can fight. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and like, am I panicking because of the Boom Heron move? No, because
they're doing what they gotta do. Yeah.
They're delicate. They're unpredictable. They don't know if Carlos Williams is going to be ready for Sunday. Hell, he could be ready tomorrow. We don't know that. But he's got to pass the protocol. They needed to bring him back in here. They had no choice. And by the way, there's yet another team that thought Boom Heron was better than Trent Richardson. So it wasn't just the Indianapolis Colts, because the Bills worked out Trent Richardson as well. I don't think I've ever been as disappointed as I have in Trent Richardson, man. That guy, I mean, Bo, you even watch rookie year highlights from that guy, and he was a different player. I mean, I know he averaged, 3.8 yards a carry as a rookie, but he was a different player than he was.
Yeah, a little shake to him.
Totally different player. Anyway, no need to talk about Trent Richardson, but, man, that might be item number one every draft Nick or draft evaluator is going to say, yep, I missed on that one. But it's kind of like in daily fantasy when everybody – has in a cash game has the same guy, low price guy who strikes out. Well, it doesn't really matter because everybody had him, so everybody had that hole in their lineup. That's kind of the deal with Trent.
Except in real life, only one team took him, and that was the Colts. All right, how about Darryl Green? The Browns did too. Yes, exactly. Yeah. The Browns took him. You know what I mean. DGB gets arrested for unpaid traffic tickets, but the Titans say, nothing to worry about on that end in terms of his playing time. He's still a guy who you expect to have a bit of a run here in the second half of his rookie season.
I have unpaid parking tickets. You ever see Liar Liar?
Yes, that's good. That's very good.
He opens up the the glove compartment and they all fall out.
In your bra.
Doriel Green Beckham obviously has had much more serious off-field issues than this. Bo, his issues regarding women at the University of Missouri got him kicked off the football team. He had to transfer to Oklahoma, where he never played it down. His off-field issues were the reason, despite his otherworldly talent, that we ranked up 10, both pre- and post-draft, at the wide receiver position, because as our guy Tom Brodley so astutely put it, this is the type of guy who could be the best receiver in football one year and out of the league the next. And while I'm not going to freak out to a guy not paying parking tickets, believe me, I live in the city of Philadelphia. Parking tickets are a bane But
do not get me started on the PPA.
but you just would like to see to be able to go a calendar year without a report like this on Doriel Green Beckham. The Titans need him. They need his size. He's great in the red zone. But it's just one more thing. If this was Keenan Allen, I don't think people are freaking out. If this was Jordan Matthews, I don't think people are going to be making a big deal about it. But Doriel Green Beckham has had serious, serious, serious issues. So just
put another. It's not a big deal, but it seems like the kind of thing that he should be taken care of. But
correct.
That's neither here. All right. So anyway, impact on fantasy, not a ton, but just another reminder that if you're in a keeper league or something like that, maybe you want to bail before he gets into real trouble. Anyway, how about in Minnesota, Charles Johnson hopes to be back for week 6 after the Vikings bye this week. Stephon Diggs stepped in Charles Johnson's absence, played very well. What do you make of the Minnesota passing game situation?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater actually had to throw the damn football against the Broncos, 27 to 41, 269 and a touchdown. Probably Bridgewater's best performance. Mike Wallace had a nice game, Bo. So here's what I want to weigh. Do the Minnesota Vikings look at this and say, okay, we could be more balanced? Because, Bo, you watched all of Teddy Bridgewater's games. I mean, the guy hasn't been playing well this year. And I know it's almost gotten to the point where if you talk bad about Teddy Bridgewater, it's considered slander because he was one of those guys who at the end of last year, it was, all right, general group think is this guy is good, so he will be good from this point on. And it hasn't been that case with Teddy. However, if the passing offense can be this effective, Charles Johnson's got a shot to do what people thought he was going to do when they were taking him in the 7th, 8th round of fantasy drafts. That obviously hasn't been the case. The question I have is, does Stephon Diggs cut into Charles Johnson snaps, or was he successful because he played over the injured Jarius Wright, and he's going to be functional in that role as well? So that's what I'm interested in. Charles Johnson's a guy who I might give another week to, Bo. A couple leagues where I'm holding him, I didn't think there was anybody else who had maybe more upside on the waiver wire. He's been a disappointment, but a large part of that has been because the Minnesota Vikings simply weren't throwing the football. Teddy Bridgewater in this game against Denver threw one fewer pass than he threw in his previous two games combined.
Which of the three emerging, or not emerging, but potential one-hit wonders, one-week wonders at the wide receiver position, do you like the most moving forward? Stephon Diggs, Willie Snead, or Allen Hurns?
I would say Hurns, only because we've seen this last year for a stretch and this year. Of course, the downside to Hurns is who the hell knows what you're going to get out of Blake Bortles any given week. I'm intrigued by Willie Snead, Bo, and here's a reason. Because Willie Snead's snaps have been going up every week as Brandon Coleman's have fallen. And Coleman was the guy people were on late in the preseason, right before the season, as kind of that 13th, 14th round draft pick who, Colston's fallen off and they need a receiver. It seems like Snead has been that guy. So that's a guy I'm watching, especially against the Eagles this week, because his snaps have been going up and he's been generally effective. So I think Willie Snead's by far an ad, but after getting my tail whipped by Allen Hurns this week, I've got to say he's probably the most appealing of those guys simply because I've seen more of him.
Yeah, I do like Snead, and I do like him this week against an Eagles linebacking group that is beset by injury. So it should be interesting. Okay, how about let's put our focus to the Thursday night game with a couple teams in the AFC South who don't know what they're going to be doing at quarterback, potentially, at least on the short term. I mean, it looks like it's probably going to be Mallett and Luck, but let's start with the Houston Texans. They're going with Mallett because it's a short week. They're not ready to turn it over to Brian Hoyer, and it looks like they're going to be missing both Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington. What do you make of that situation? Obviously, you're boosting DeAndre Hopkins up a little bit, but is Jalen Strong going to make an impact as a potential second receiver in this game against a mediocre Colts secondary beyond Vontae Davis?
Well, here's the problem. Also, Vontae Davis is banged up. Greg Toler should be coming back, but Vontae's banged up. You don't know what to expect of him. That's very interesting, Bo, to me. Mallett, I mean, if you look at the matchup, you look at the fact that he's got DeAndre Hopkins, I think he's an interesting kind of daily guy this week. The problem is you never know what you're going to get from Mallett throw to throw, let alone week to week. This guy could have the shortest leash of any quarterback in the NFL right now, so he'd be a big-time risk even against a bad defense. Bo, I'm wondering if you are desperate for receiver help, if it's better to pick up Keith Mumphrey than Jalen Strong. Mumphrey's been playing ahead of him.
I think it is. I think Mumphrey is the guy if you're just playing for this week. But maybe the possibility is there for Strong to impress a little bit and earn himself some more playing time. But Mumphrey's certainly ahead of him. And I was, I made this note on the Texans game against the Falcons. The Texans receivers and just the Texans team in general, they have more drops than anyone in the league. And that's partially because Mallett can't dial it down on 10-yard throws. He throws the ball 100 miles an hour on every throw, and guys drop it all the time.
He's like the dude in the Mighty Ducks 2 who has like the otherworldly speed but can't stop.
Right.
He just has the physical ability. He just has he doesn't have the coordination to use it, if that makes sense. So,
well, the interesting thing is he doesn't throw a bad deep ball either when he has to put some air under it. It's just he can't slow his arm down. He can't throw touch passes. It's too bad.
He's like Mitch Williams. He's the wild thing. He's just like, I mean, he's throwing hard and he doesn't care if it's accurate. He's got some ability, Bo, no doubt about it. But yeah, it's not pretty with Ryan Mallett. You can see him throwing for 250 and a couple of touchdowns against this defense. You can also see him get benched at halftime. And so that's why it's tough to trust this passing game. The great thing is DeAndre Hopkins is on pace to, I mean, Bo, absolutely shatter the NFL record for targets.
Right.
And he gets it done with everybody. So DeAndre Hopkins, fortunately, is just one of those quarterback-proof receivers, and I like seeing that.
If you were an Arian Foster owner, I think, initially at first glance, you're probably worried about playing him on a short week after coming back from the injury. But I think the way that the game went last week works in your favor a little bit because it looked to me like they were ready to unleash Foster. He was ready to play the entire game. And then the game got out of hand, so they gave him a little bit of a rest in the second half, which means that he should be able to come back and play pretty well and probably play a lot if this is a close game on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think it probably – I wonder if Foster might have even played more, as you said, if the game was close. They had no reason to play him. I do want to know, Bo, that this backfield is a total mess beyond Arian Foster. Even after Alfred Blue ran for 100 yards in week 3 after barely playing the first 2 weeks, he played 11 snaps this past Sunday. Chris Polk seriously out-snapped him. So – Foster is one of those guys. If you have him, great. However, I don't think there's anybody in this backfield to own other than Arian Foster. I think this is a guy who it is useless to handcuff him. I just don't want to handcuff Arian Foster. I don't see a reason to.
I think that's probably right. All right, how about on the other side? It looks like Andrew Luck is going to at least try to play on Thursday night after missing the game against the Jaguars, which they luckily snuck out thanks to Brandon Myers' 3 missed field goals. Also, Dwayne Allen looks like he's going to play. He's a full participant despite Kobe Fleener having a big game against the Jaguars. I think we can agree that Fleener is the tight end to own there, even though Dwayne Allen may play a few more snaps as a blocker. But what do you make of the rest of the passing offense if Luck returns?
I mean, obviously, it's an upgrade for T.Y. Hilton. It's an upgrade for Dante Moncrief. Andre Johnson's droppable. I had him in one league and dropped him already. It obviously would be a great news for the passing game, Bo. They had to just try desperately to get Matt Hasselbeck some enough protection to throw the ball. And I thought Hasselbeck actually played pretty well overall, Bo, if you ask me. But I think that this passing game is going to have problems all year simply because they can't protect Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck, Bo does on occasion make throws that he should not make. He's not blameless in this situation. However, I would consider the fact that Andrew Luck being back is a gigantic positive for this entire passing game. I hope he plays. I really do.
All right, Joe. We're about a half an hour in. I think it's a perfect time to get to the fun part of the show, the hashtag Ask Guru questions from our loyal listeners on Twitter. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Help lock this lineup. Half point PPR. One running back, one wide receiver, one flex. Woodhead, Frank Gore, Crowell, Golden Tate, Stevie Johnson. Pick three of those guys.
Stevie Johnson with the hamstring at this point, Bo. I mean, unfortunately, we're recording this on a Monday. Unfortunately, at this point, there's no way for me to – Tuesday. There's no way for me to say Stevie Johnson's going to be healthy, so we're going to have to take him out of that equation. Bo, I'm going to be honest. What do people need to see from Danny Woodhead to put him in their lineups? Does this guy need to literally go for like 350 and five touchdowns for people to not ask questions about him? He's a top 12 fantasy running back. He's in your lineup every week. And I know his week three wasn't big. The Chargers had a crappy game. Nobody had a good game that week except for Keenan Allen. So Danny Woodhead is in your lineup. Who are the other options?
I think this is pretty easy to me because he has to play one receiver. So if it's no Stevie Johnson, he's playing Golden Tate, you're playing Woodhead, and then you're playing Frank Gore over Isaiah Crowell.
Yes. Yeah, that's simple.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, yeah, the problem is Stevie Johnson's injured. You can't consider it anything more than a.
As Colby Rasmus takes Masahiro Tanaka deep to right field, we continue on. All right.
Oh, Bo, I got a little action there.
What do you got on
Houston on the money line? Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go Stros.
Just beer. Right. So we're just betting beers here.
Okay, fair enough. Ali Tariq asked Guru: are Jonathan Stewart and Golden Tate droppable in non PPR? And also for a tight end pickup, does he want Fleener, Richard Rodgers, or Gary Barnage? You take the first one, I'll take the second one. Yeah.
All right. But anyway.
Although Richard Rodgers, Alec Ogletree is now out. Richard Rodgers could have some extra room to run against the Rams this week, but I think Fleener is the guy long term.
I would agree with that. Let's see here. Yes, I think Jonathan Stewart's droppable in non-PPR. And I'm saying this as a guy who is Jonathan Stewart's one of his primary advocates. I was just saying he's going to get volume and he's cheap. And the problem is, I mean, he's not seeing a ton of carries. He's not doing a ton with them. He's not doing anything in the passing game. And as we knew, I mean, this is not a new issue. He is not getting touchdown opportunities. So if Cam Newton's going to be
the Panthers' passing game is better in general than we expected, especially with Kelvin Benjamin out. I mean, they're making it work with Ted Ginn and Philly Brown.
Yes.
And Greg Olsen,
I agree with that as well. I totally agree with that. So the passing game has been better. Cam's been great. Not something to expect. Cam Newton, you can argue, threw the ball worse last season than he has at any point in his NFL career. He's come out with no weapons whatsoever. Greg Olsen's been a huge disappointment for fantasy, Bo. Another two-catch game against terrible Buccaneer defense. And they're still putting up numbers. Cam Newton deserves a ton of credit. And I think that's been part of the reason Jonathan Stewart's been a disappointment. So, yes, I think he is droppable. Tate, I'd wait around on for a little while. They've had a brutal run schedule-wise. The Detroit Lions. You can argue, Bo, that Detroit played the two best defenses in the NFL back-to-back. Yes. So Tate, I would hold on to, but Jonathan Stewart's droppable.
All right, Luis Hernandez, standard two running back, two wide receiver league. Should he trade Ronnie Hillman for Larry Fitzgerald?
Yes, without a doubt. This is the perfect type of move. People are like freaking out, overreacting to Ronnie Hillman going nuts on one play. And you can get him for a guy, Larry Fitzgerald, who I believe, according to Pro Football Focus, Bo, has the highest quarterback rating when he is targeted on a throw of any receiver in the NFL. Larry Fitzgerald is getting it done. Go get him now, especially if you could trade a guy who you're not even sure has a job or a full-time job at that. So I'm absolutely making this deal.
Yeah, you take the certainty there. All right, Kyle Calderwood, better fill-in this week at quarterback. Blake Bortles, Tim Hasselbeck, I guess that's a little short-sighted, or Alex Smith. I'm going to say no to Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, considering he's on. So we have Alex Smith against Chicago.
Alex Smith, who's got the Bears at home, or Blake Bortles, who's at Tampa Bay.
This is an easy one for me, Bo. You go with Alex Smith. The Chiefs need a win. They're at home. They're going up against a bad defense. I'm going to take the better player. It's Alex Smith.
I think that's fair. And that is speaking as someone who had to play Blake Bortles in place of Andrew Luck this week. And he did me a job. All right, Jared wants to know, is Todd Gurley going to be an every week starter, or do you need to see more games from him? I think we've already answered that question. Each and every week. Who are you looking to stick at quarterback from here on out until Big Ben comes back? Well, this is that's a tough question to answer because we don't know who's on his waiver wire, but it is an opportunity for me to ask you about your thoughts on Sam Bradford's relative breakout game.
Relative breakout's a good way to put it, Bo. However,
I mean, he was, I think, the second highest quarterback scorer this week. I mean, it wasn't a great game in real life, but fantasy-wise, 26.
I thought he played all right, didn't you?
I thought he played all right for one quarter. I mean,
threw the ball well down the field.
That third quarter, he came out and threw the ball, which he hadn't done all season long. You wonder what was said to him at halftime.
The schedule really eases up, too, coming up. You got New Orleans, the Giants. I think Bradford's a guy you can plug in there. The offensive line concerns, though, Bo, those are something that can plague the entire offense. And I think right now, that's the biggest problem with the Eagles. I think, Bo, some of these guys just don't even know where they're going. That's a huge issue. These guys just have no clue, like, where to block. They don't know what their assignments are. Bradford missed a couple of throws. He also missed some potential plays because he didn't get great protection. So I think Bradford's a viable fill-in. It's really hard for me to say who else could be out there. Who's a nice one? We just said Alex Smith's a nice fill-in. That's usually my default, oh, he's probably on your waiver wire type of guy. But, yeah, I mean, Bo, I thought Bradford played his best game of the year, and you would hope the Eagle line gets a little bit better. I just don't have huge confidence in that. But I also think Bradford's potential as a fantasy quarterback isn't nearly as hopeless as it was a week or two ago.
I think that's about right. Sticking in that game, what did you make of the Washington backfield? We thought it was going to be an issue all year long with Alfred Morris and Matt Jones playing tug of war, but then Chris Thompson comes in and all of a sudden he's the guy getting the most snaps. Matt Jones probably had a touchdown taken away from him when Kirk Cousins fumbled that ball and then got in himself, so he did get the goal line touches. But this is a tough situation now, and I've got a couple guys asking about. Should they trade Alfred Morris or Matt Jones for Lamar Miller? But what do you make of the jockeying of those three running backs moving forward?
Matt Jones is still the guy I want long term. However, I will say this. I am putting in a waiver claim tonight in a league for Chris Thompson. I am losing a couple running backs to bye weeks. And they're going up against Atlanta, who has had serious problems with pass-catching running backs. So I think Chris Thompson's a very interesting fill-in guy if you have like Chris Ivory on bye or something this week. So Jones is still the guy I want. Alfred Morris, Bo, did not look great to me at all. I know he was the lead guy. Philly's run defense is really good. That's probably the best aspect of that team right now. The run defense is really good, so I wouldn't freak out about how either Morris or Jones looked. So I'm just going to default to what we've been seeing since the preseason. Matt Jones is the best back on this team, but he does have to beat out Alfred Morris and earn trust. And Chris Thompson right now has a clear, defined role, a role that I think is going to make him useful this week against Atlanta.
Richard Oubre wants to piggyback on this question, and you know, he wants it seems like he wants to play Chris Thompson this week and pick him up. Should he drop Matt Jones to pick up Chris Thompson, or should he drop Matt Stafford? I think he has two quarterbacks.
I would drop Stafford.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. People do not need to freak out about dropping their second quarterbacks if you've got one who you feel good about, because you can always find a guy with a good matchup on the waiver wire. Always. There's always going to be at least one guy who's starting with a nice matchup on the waiver wire. That's why if you have a shallow bench, I am totally fine dropping a guy like Stafford. 100% okay with it. I would much rather hold a running back who could potentially be an every week starter for me than hold a backup quarterback.
Corey Daly, and that was a good taste of Dolan on strategy for those of you who are eagerly anticipating the next column. Corey Daly asked Guru, should he trade Amir Abdullah for Andrew Luck, non-PPR?
I mean, contextualize. Yes. I mean, this looks completely fine. It looks totally fine. I would assume if this is what you're doing, you have strength at running back and you are weak at quarterback. That's the type of trade you should be looking to make. Yes, I'm totally cool making that deal.
All right, as we move on here. Krish, Kitch ass Krish, Eli Manning or Andrew Luck this week?
You know what? I think I'm going to say Eli. Against San Francisco, their pass defense has been atrocious. Giants are at home. San Francisco's been miserable on the road. I mean, they've gotten their tails whipped twice on the road. I've used that like three times, actually, in this podcast. I don't think I've ever said tails whipped on the podcast before. But they've gotten their asses kicked twice on the road. They've been more respectable at home, but they're on the road this week against the Giants. I would start Eli. Until I see something from Andrew Luck, until I see that he's healthy. Just roll with Eli. And Luck is almost certainly going to be your starter moving forward, but just roll with Eli.
Sure. All right, full point PPR. Leave one of these four off from Roland Wilson. Frank Gore, Ronnie Hillman, Chris Johnson, Duke Johnson.
Okay, CJ, Duke. Okay, Chris Johnson has been far more solid than I'd like to admit, but he has. Arizona is at Detroit. But
they also started to ease David Johnson into that role a little bit more last week.
Even though David Johnson dropped a touchdown and fumbled
the opening kickoff away.
Right. So I like that from Bruce Arians. He's like, all right, but this guy's an explosive playmaker. So yeah, Frank Gore, people are pissed off at him. Two really bad Luck fumbles. I mean, fumbles often are Luck anyway, but two really bad Luck ones, both of them at the goal line situations in two of the last 3 weeks. Let's see. The other guys are Ronnie Hillman and Duke Johnson. Ronnie Hillman at Oakland, good matchup. Duke Johnson coming off a monster game going up against the Baltimore Ravens. My initial instinct here, Bo, is if Andre Ellington is back to sit Chris Johnson, is this a this is full point PPR?
Yes.
If Andre Ellington is back, I would sit Chris Johnson. If he is not, I would sit Duke Johnson. Only because Duke plays on the least trustworthy team, but I think his role is pretty solidified. I think he's a guy, even if he doesn't get it done as a runner, is going to continue to get it done in the passing game. And Hillman's got a good matchup. This is a great week. Here's your bellwether week for the Denver Bronco running game. Against Oakland, at Oakland, they're in the black hole, I know, but I think this is the week where they try to run the ball with some level of consistency and see who their guy is. But I would take a gamble on Hillman this week.
All right, let's go quick hitting here. Gary Dirk, Stafford or Tyrod Taylor this week? And he says we rock, which I agree with.
Oh, thank you very much. Detroit at home against Arizona. Tyrod Taylor at Tennessee, I'd go with Tyrod.
Okay. Charlie Frankel, friend of the podcast. Tommy Bohannon, Nikita Whitlock, or Chris Givens for a flex spot. asking for a friend. This is a hashtag go Deeks question for you, Joe, here. But it allows us to talk about Chris Givens. I think there's a chance that Chris Givens makes a, makes a fantasy impact here. Of course, traded to Baltimore from the Rams for an undisclosed draft pick. But they need a deep threat, and that is the one thing that he can do.
Yeah, I'm seen about 100 people tweet this on Twitter. So I'm taking it unattributed, other than just Twitter in general. But yeah, the Ravens' best offensive play last year was pass interference to Torrey Smith, and they don't have that guy anymore. Chris Givens, you would think, can be Torrey Smith light. So, I mean, do I think he's a fantasy option right now? No, but I keep an eye on him, and I think it's good news for Justin Forsett at the least that they might have somebody who can spread the field a little bit.
All right, next question. Who are some good tight ends to trade for in a long term in a 2-point PPR? And his choices are Jordan Cameron, Richard Rodgers, or Kobe Fleener. We've already sort of answered that with Kobe Fleener, assuming you take him over Jordan Cameron at this point.
Oh my God, yeah. Now the Dolphins have some fascinating buy low guys. That includes Ryan Tannehill and Lamar Miller, and people, Bo, are livid about Ryan Tannehill. They hate Ryan Tannehill.
I think I hate him too.
They think he's entitled. They think he's this and that.
As a friend, as a friend of practice squatters everywhere, I will say that I hate Ryan Tannehill.
Don't you think that goes on at like every practice though? Yeah, don't you think people trash talk the practice squatters all the time? I wonder if that's a little overblown. Yeah, and then somebody,
most of them are better than Ryan Tannehill.
All right, that's fair. But they needed a coaching change badly. They're going on their bye. I think there's a great chance Ryan Tannehill and Lamar Miller dropped heading into this week. So I would be completely fine with buying low on those guys. But yeah, Bo, the answer is Kobe Fleener. He's the guy playing the best football of this group.
I agree. All right, let's do three more here. We have a defense question for me. All right, very excited. Please rank over these defenses for the rest of the season: Eagles, Giants, Patriots. I would go Patriots one for sure, and then probably Eagles, Giants, only because you've still got a little bit of the special teams possibility for a score with the Eagles, and the Giants defense is not very great, but they do have to both play each other. Patriots is the one you want.
And the Giants, though, if you're looking for streamers, Bo, at home against Colin Kaepernick, who might be playing worse football than any player in the NFL right now.
I mean, yeah, the Giants are the top pick this week for sure. Rest of season, I go Patriots, and that, however, factors in, assuming that you are not a league that factors in points allowed, because the Patriots will be docked because they play such high scoring games.
Correct.
All right, Gene Malone, our penultimate fan question: would you trade Giovanni Bernard for Keenan Allen? Standard league.
Yes. Well, again, contextualized, assuming that I have the running back depth to trade Giovanni Bernard, in a vacuum, I view Keenan Allen as a greater fantasy asset than Giovanni Bernard. Yes, I would make this deal.
All right, finally, Travis Williams wants to know, would you trade away Aaron Rodgers for Devontae Freeman? He has Matt Ryan.
Oh, Bo, you had to close with this one. Oh, my God.
I think if you're trading Aaron Rodgers, you can do better than Devontae Freeman.
Yes. Okay. I would trade Matt Ryan for Devontae Freeman. Talk about a bailout answer. I think if you're trading Rodgers, you can do better than Devontae Freeman. Yes, I agree. Somebody you're going to have more faith in than Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae Freeman has been wonderful the last 2 weeks, but I still, I'm not putting him on Aaron Rodgers level. Let's be a little fair here.
Yes, I agree. I couldn't make that deal. I would trade Rodgers for somebody who has a little more of a track record than Freeman. Freeman's been phenomenal, but I would try to shoot higher than that. Yes.
All right, my last question for you, Joe, as I like to finish every week with a question for you from my own.
Let's do it.
We talked last week about how the change at quarterback for the Steelers from Ben Roethlisberger to Mike Vick hurts nobody more than on one hand Heath Miller, but also Martavis Bryant. I've got Martavis Bryant coming back. Do I plug him into my flex, or this is a non-PPR, or do I have to roll with either Shane Vereen or hope for Thomas Rawls or pick somebody up?
Well, Shane Vereen, the problem is non-PPR. But even in PPR, he hasn't caught a pass the last 2 weeks, which has been killing me, and I'm sick and tired of it.
The other question would be I could pick up Hankerson or Crabtree, and I like Hankerson.
I kind of like Hankerson too. I'd probably say F it and just play Martavis Bryant because I'm excited to play him. And they still need him, Bo. They need him in the red zone. And Vic can go down the field. And look, Darius Hayward Bay caught a touchdown pass last week. So I'd probably still roll with Martavis, but I do like Hankerson. Yeah. As somebody who got my butt kicked by Leonard Hankerson this past week, which, by the way, is not a good feeling. Until you've gotten your butt kicked by Leonard Hankerson, you don't know what fantasy football pain is.
All right. Well, that should be the tagline for the opening of the show. The hashtag AskGuru podcast, where we talk about getting our butt kicked by Leonard Hankerson. Well, thank you, Joe. This was wonderful. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully this weekend is more profitable for you than the last.
Oh, Bo, phenomenal podcast. I had a great time. Everyone, thank you for tuning in, and we will hear from you next week. Bye-bye.
And remember, use the hashtag AskGuru.
Was that a better close, Bo, this week than we had last week? I know we got people who were like, that close was a little awkward.
No, did we? Did we get that? Well, now we're only making it more awkward.
Yes, much more awkward. Anyway, goodbye, people.